If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to 2 Thessalonians and follow along as I read, beginning at verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place and before your word. May we be receptive to what you would have to say to us this morning, collectively as a church and individually. Thank you for loving us enough to send your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, to provide the only way of escape from the penalty for our sin. That because of your grace and the response of faith, we can have eternal life. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the Church of the Thessalonians. You know them better as Paul and Silas and Timothy. We've just finished 1 Thessalonians, beginning today. The second letter that Paul wrote to the church. You may remember, Paul and Silas and Timothy came to Thessalonica on their second missionary journey. As was their custom, went right to the synagogue and began to teach, and were well received for 2 or 3 weeks, but there were some Jewish folks there who weren't ready or receptive to the idea that Jesus of Nazareth could be the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer. And Paul was very clear about that. Took them to the scriptures, showed them the prophets, what they had said, and how Jesus clearly fulfilled that. As a result, Paul, Silas, and Timothy got run out of town. But the ministry remained. They went on to Berea. Paul went to Athens, was so concerned about the church at Thessalonica that he sent Timothy back. He said, go check on them, make sure they're doing okay. I'll go to Athens, we'll meet up in Corinth. And that's exactly what happened. Paul gets to Corinth for the first time. Loves that because he gets to share the gospel with folks who haven't heard it yet. And teach them. And Timothy comes and says, Paul, they're doing great. And Paul sits down and writes 1 Thessalonians. He continues to be concerned about them, continues to somehow keep in contact with them, and is so concerned about them that within just a few months, while still in Corinth, writes 2 Corinthians. He's concerned about what he introduces to us here in verse 4. He's concerned about the persecutions and afflictions that they're enduring. So he's going to write to encourage them about that. There's more he has to say about the day of the Lord and end times. So So he's going to discuss that. And then in chapter 3, he's going to warn them against idleness. Just because Jesus is coming, and it may be soon, it may be today, we've been teaching that for over 2,000 years. Just because it may be today, that is no excuse for idleness. That is no excuse for just sitting around and waiting for Jesus to come. God has a plan for you, something for you to be doing, and Paul will be challenging us in chapter 3. So Paul is writing to the church here in Thessalonica. He says, grace to you and peace, verse 2. Two ideas that have to go together. Let me suggest this. If you're struggling with peace, peace within, contentment, being able to just relax and let God work in your life and in the lives of those around you. If you don't have peace, you don't understand grace. But if you fully understand grace, or at least as well as our finite minds can, when you understand grace and all that God has done and all that God has given and all that God has offered, then you understand who's in charge, who's really controlling things, and then you have peace. If the God of the universe, the Creator God, the Sovereign One, is in charge of me and in charge of you, there's no reason to not have peace. When Paul thinks of this church in Thessalonica, when Paul thinks of the Thessalonians, he has these two responses. First, he's thankful. He says in verse 3, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged. From the time I introduced you to Jesus and shared the grace of God and told you that the only response that God asks, the only response that will produce salvation is faith in Jesus alone, since that time that you've received that, your faith has just continued to grow. You trust Him more and more. You know more and more about what He has said. You allow more and more of your life for Him to control. And you're seeing the joy and the purpose in that. Your faith is greatly enlarged. He was concerned about them. They were getting it from both sides. Thessalonica is a Gentile community, had a large enough Jewish community to have a synagogue, which is significant. But when, as Jewish believers, they're getting it from their Jewish family, questioning their faith and questioning what they're believing, the Gentile folks who have come to recognize Jesus as Savior and as Lord, why, they're getting it from their friends who are worshiping almost anything and everything that will move. Anything that we can cast an idol to, we're going to worship. And they're getting it from them. And it's tough. And some of them are having to sever family ties. Some of them are losing their jobs. They're certainly losing friendships, relationships. But their faith is growing. And then he says, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. They're taking care of one another. They're learning that when one of us hurts, we all hurt. When one of us hurts, we need to get together and help. And so what was happening? Well, don't know for sure, but I suspect when they'd get together as a church family, and they'd have prayer requests, and somebody would say, I lost my job today. The foreman, the owner, came around and said, if you're going to continue to believe in Jesus only, if you're going to be that narrow, if you're going to continue to share your faith with your fellow workers, we got to let you go. As soon as he says that, there's this guy over here who's thinking, hey, I could use somebody. It's all before they're over there getting together, and he's got a job. Lost a job today for his faith, got a job today because he has faith. But eventually there are also going to be folks coming to prayer meeting and saying, we lost Dad today. A widow, single mom now, with children. And again, a family pops up and says, hey, we'll help. Because that's what you do when you love God and you love one another. And your love grows for one another. You find ways to help one another. And they were just continuing to do that. I don't know how Paul learned this. You know, they weren't calling, and letters moved even slower than they do today. I don't know how. He's at Corinth, which is on a trade route. Thessalonica not far from one. So maybe it was a matter of just seeing people coming and going. Imagine that. A group of travelers coming through, and a part of the conversation, as they tell about going through Asia Minor, a part of the conversation is telling about that little church in Thessalonica. What must that have meant to the Apostle Paul? I don't know how he heard, but he did. He heard that their faith was growing and that they were loving one another more and more. So he's thankful, and he's also proud. Therefore, verse 4, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith. Perseverance is that stick-to-itiveness. You're staying right at it. Perseverance and faith. Not only believing, but responding obediently. Remember, James says, faith that saves, genuine faith, is going to demonstrate itself. So Paul is saying here, you know, when I think of you and your faith, I think in terms of perseverance. You stay at it. This is not a Sunday morning thing. It's become a part of who you are. Every part of your life is informed by your faith and truth, and you persevere in it. And he says this is even in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions. See, I didn't make that up. That's what's at the heart of this, and that's what's continuing to drop Paul to his knees as he thinks about that church in Thessalonica. They're enduring genuine persecution and affliction based upon the fact that they believe this simple message: God loves me, Jesus died for me. I believe that. Jesus only. Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. And it was costing them dearly. But they were staying at it. And Paul was so proud of them. Now maybe, as you've been reading through this with me, instead of some of the phrases that my Bible has used, perhaps Your Bible has used words like growing and increasing and enduring. You know what that means? A little bit of interpreting along with translating, and that's okay. That happens because we're talking about two entirely different languages, the language Paul wrote and the language that you and I read. But what your Bible has done, which is so very, very important, when it uses words like growing, increasing, enduring, it reminds us that this is an ongoing process. We never arrive. Have you heard that before here? Yeah, you have, haven't you? Because we're to be continuing to grow. We never get to the point where we sit down and say, we're done. This is a process, and it is a process that we will continue to go through until we are done. And that's the moment we take the last breath here and the next breath there, and begin a whole new relationship with our Heavenly Father. A little bit of a circular reasoning here, maybe, beginning with faith and love, perseverance and faith. Yeah, sure, sure. Begin with faith, we end with faith. If it's not for faith, none of the rest of this works. If God hasn't loved us and we haven't responded to Him in faith, then our love for one another is not going to grow. Our ability to continue or persevere is not going to grow. Our faith is not going to grow. So we have faith and love and perseverance and faith, enduring ongoing challenges. We may not be able to say yet that we have endured persecution, but we've all endured, run up against challenges to our faith, challenges to our love for God and to our love for one another. What do we do when we hit those challenges? Are we growing? Are we increasing? Are we enduring? Are we continuing to grow in Christ? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word and thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately and in a way that you can use to challenge each of us as we need to be challenged. Encouraged as we need to be individually encouraged. Thank you for the wonderful way in which you can use your word in our lives. Pray, Father, that you've been honored and glorified to be with us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.